This week on Jaguars Weekend, the Jags ended the losing streak on Christmas Eve. This week it's a trip to Indy for a New Year's Day season finale. We're sitting down with interim head coach Doug Marrone for a preview. And one local family got the keys to their new home just in time for the holidays. All that and more ahead on Jaguars Weekend.
This is Jaguars Weekend, presented by Dreamfinders Homes. Building the American dream, one home at a time. Brought to you by GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. EverBank. It's your money. Make the most of it. And by Cadillac.
You look around this room and you believe in the guys that are next to you. That's the strongest damn thing a team has. Not the coaches, not anything else. The players from within.
It was a very Merry Christmas for Doug Marrone and the Jags with a win over the Titans. They're looking for a Happy New Year this week in Indianapolis. And welcome into Jaguars Weekend, presented by Dreamfinders Homes. J.P. Shadrick with you. And after an uneasy week of change a week ago, the Jaguars came out with their best all-around performance of the season against the Tennessee Titans. The Jags came out of the blocks firing on all cylinders and took it to the Titans in all phases.
You know, a lot of us, as coaches, you know, obviously we don't know what our future is. But the majority of the players in that room will be here. So I think it's important to have some type of foundation to be able to look back on.
The Jags quarterback answered critics with one of the best performances of his career.
You know, we kind of showed that we can play consistent, kind of mistake-free football. Still had a couple of mistakes here and there that we got to clean up. But I think that was more who we envisioned ourselves being all season, not week 16. So I think that's definitely what we want to try and replicate, minus a couple errors here and there.
Now with 1 week to go, the question is, can the Jaguars replicate it against the Indianapolis Colts and finish on a positive?
You know, I owe it to my teammates. I owe it to the coaches. And, you know, I owe it to everyone in this locker room, you know, to go out there and finish strong.
We welcome in Brian Sexton and John Osier. Finishing strong. This is an opportunity for this Jaguars team to win back-to-back games in the division at the end of the season. It is a big opportunity for the group.
Well, I think it's a big opportunity because it would allow you to build on what you did last week. The division's great, and I think it's important, but you played very well against a good team last week. You beat a team that's contending, who I think was the best team in the AFC South, and you beat them hard. I mean, you beat them by a significant margin in a significant way. Build on that, and you've got something going in the offseason. If you don't, then it sort of feels, I don't know, loose at the end.
Well, we spent all season, did we not, preseason, talking about what this team was,
sure,
what their identity was, and then it disappeared for most of the season. Last week it reappeared, and so if you put together back-to-back games, maybe have a sense of who you are. And if you do well in the division, which is the quickest way to the playoffs in 2017, then what you have is an identity that you can compete and beat the Texans, the Titans, and the Colts, and that's exactly where you want to be. Don't underestimate the fact that since 2003, 2004, this has not been a team that's finished strong. Jack Del Rio, four times in his career, lost the last three games of the season. They haven't won the final two games since 2005, and they haven't won the final game since 2011. It would be good for the fans to go into the offseason feeling pretty good.
It doesn't save it, but it gives you something.
Yeah, it would give us
some meat on the bone.
Something better to talk about as well. Now, back to last week's game, and if they perform well this week, how much does coaching and all the change have to do with it?
Well, I mean, I said I thought Doug Marrone would put an edge on talking to players this week, hearing some things around the building, watching players run from their cars to the front door. He was able to enact an edge of expectation that was perhaps a little bit greater, a little bit more immediate than it had been with Gus. And that was enough last week, I thought.
You know, I mean, I'm not a huge coaching guy. I think it matters. I don't think it's the end all. But certainly in the short term, Doug Marrone gave this team and the organization the direction that it needed for these last two games.
Yeah, and it started with the quarterback, too. Blake Bortles had one of the best games in his career, and quickly it was what a show he put on last week.
Yeah, that mattered a lot on the field, didn't it? I mean, 17 of 18 to start off. He finally did what we've all been waiting for him to do, which was to play very well early in a game when the game was in the balance. So much of his has been late in the game when it was out. He was a huge reason they won. You've been waiting for that to happen.
We'll see if he can do that back-to-back weeks. There's more ahead on Jaguars Weekend. We sit down with interim head coach Doug Marrone for a closer look at the Indianapolis Colts. Also, the Jaguars, PepsiCo, and Publix make the holidays brighter for local families. That's all coming up, but first a closer look at the Jags' all-time leading tackler, Darryl Smith, on Classic Jags presented by Lexus.
Off the field, Darryl Smith was quiet and soft-spoken. On the field, the former Jaguars linebacker's play was all the talk he needed.
You didn't notice him until he wasn't on the field. And then when he wasn't on the field, you would see the defensive performance overall drop. When the ball went to his side, all of a sudden you would look up and it was second 11 instead of second 6.
When you talked to other coaches and other players, he was one of the first names you heard. You didn't hear it from the media. He wasn't all over ESPN. But when people looked at the Jaguars, they said, Darryl Smith. Okay, that's where he is.
Don't let his quiet nature fool you. Darryl Smith was a very, very good linebacker.
Here's a guy who's had sustained excellence for a long time. Didn't say much, but when you watched him play, you realized what a tremendous asset he was to everybody else on the field.
To me, he is the greatest linebacker in Jaguars history because he was the guy who said little and did a lot. Let his play speak, everything about him.
Smith, who left for Baltimore in 2013, is now reunited with former Jaguars defensive coordinator Mike Smith in Tampa. He still remains the Jags' all-time leading tackler and is worthy of the designation as one of the best to play for the Jaguars.
I didn't mean to ruin your celebration.
No, it's fine.
I was so excited, man.
That's a close group of Jaguars receivers on the sidelines, and Marquise Lee has a perfect passer rating. One of one with a touchdown. Check out the Sounds of the Game feature each week on Jaguars.com. Welcome back to Jaguars Weekend, presented by Dream Finders Homes. The Jags and the Colts are both eliminated from the postseason, but you know, Andrew Luck and his entire team will bring it this weekend at Lucas Oil Stadium. Jeff Lagerman has interim head coach Doug Marrone in the film room presented by Cadillac.
Well, Doug, this week you got the Indianapolis Colts and probably have one of the greatest, most respected running backs in the game's history in Frank Gore.
I totally agree with you. I think that he's been a great back, consistent every year. I think what makes him special is the ability to run inside with power, but still you have to make sure you set the edges. He can, you know, cut the ball back, he can get around the corner. Been going against him for quite a long time. Knew him when he was coming out of high school. I was at the University of Tennessee. We were recruiting him. Obviously, we made the wrong decision then.
You messed that up.
We messed that up, all right. But, you know, I have a lot of respect for him. He's a great back and seems quite ageless. People will talk about his age, but you don't see that on the tape.
Well, and on the tape, holy cow, look at the burst that he shows right here. He's 33 years old, could be the first back since John Riggins to get 1,000 yards at the age of 33 or more. But boom, that right there, that little burst, he's got it.
Exactly right. And I think what happens is he's such a good, strong downhill runner. You see a lot of defenders at the second level trying to come downhill, taking care of their gaps and collapse on the inside. And I think if you make a mistake in gap control, he has the ability to jump out and make that play right there.
Well, and once you stop in, you've got to worry about the NFL's leading receiver, T.Y. Hilton, the middle guy, and the trips there. Little out-and-up move here.
He's outstanding. I mean, he's a guy that they'll put at the single receiver side. You see right here, he's in a slot of the trips. He'll be an outside receiver in the 3-by-1 formation. He's very difficult, especially in off coverage where you can let him run. He can make plays all over the field. Very dangerous after he makes the play. Here he's making a play deep, making the catch. But he can actually take a short gain and make it very long and take it to the house.
And he's not a big guy, physical stature, which
not
is impressive.
Not a big guy. Exactly right. But he plays big.
Yeah, he certainly does. And on the defensive side of the ball, they're playing a lot of young guys. So they got some old guys and they've got some young guys. And one guy really stood out to me. He kind of reminded me of the Energizer Bunny, number 44, the draft pick from Florida, Antonio Morrison.
Well, you know, Antonio's done a really great job. And obviously you lose a player like DaQuell Jackson. So you're looking for someone to come in there and show some enthusiasm, show some leadership. He's a young guy. He's flying around. He's hitting people. He's having fun. You know, he's someone that we have to make sure, along with other players in that front seven, that we have to account. He can make plays like this. He can hit. He enjoys hitting. He's a very physical player. We have a lot of respect for him.
And he likes to talk a little bit, I see right here.
Well, I mean, that's part of the game.
That's
Yep, right. Exactly right.
All right, Doug, thank you very much.
Great, thank you, Jeff.
Guys, thanks a lot. Now, with the holiday season here, the Jaguars have been out and about in the Jacksonville community giving back to those in need. And in this Baptist Health feature, the Jaguars teamed up with two fantastic partners to help 1,000 area families. In the spirit of the holiday season, the Jaguars recently helped distribute meals to those in need. For the eighth consecutive year at Everbank Field, the Jaguars teamed up with Feeding Northeast Florida, PepsiCo, and Publix to distribute 1,000 meals to area families, seniors, and veterans. Volunteers from different agencies helped form a fire line to load vehicles from over 20 area nonprofit organizations.
To be able to come out here with some of my teammates and some of the community partners that are here in the city is special. I mean, it's a big day for a lot of people. The holidays are coming, so a lot of people are going to be able to get fed.
Beecham led the Jaguars volunteers, which included five of his teammates and the roar of the Jaguars. Beecham is no stranger to working with Feeding Northeast Florida. As a regular volunteer at the food bank, he knows firsthand how important of an issue hunger is in our area.
I go to D.C. a number of times a year and go sit down with policymakers about some of the things that are happening from a government standpoint and a government assistance standpoint, because that was something that I was on as a child. And then, you know, there's the corporate side of it. You got PepsiCo and Publix that are the big corporations that have some of the means and resources, and you lean on them as well to try to find ways to continue to help this this epidemic, like, again, that's ravaging the country.
There's still more to come. Cindric Marks gets inside the head of defensive end Jared Odrick on Players Only. This is Jaguars Weekend, presented by Dreamfinders Homes.
I thought you were the cutter. That's Harry. I know you a cutter, Harry.
See, you watch film.
Yeah.
We did.
But who had him?
I had him. Let's go.
You had it,
21 Savage had him.
With Jalen Ramsey locking it down on the other side, don't forget about Prince Amukamara. Good game last week against Tennessee. And you can watch and hear the full Jags Wired segment each week on Jaguars.com. Welcome back to Jaguars Weekend, presented by Dreamfinders Homes. Now, each week we go inside the locker room with defensive tackle Cindric Marks. This week, he visits with defensive end Jared Odrick. He calls it the Gold Room. We call it Players Only.
Hey, man, we got Jared Odrick. A lot of people, why are you looking at the camera like that, man?
Because I got to let them see the face, man. You know, I shaved all the hair off. I got to let them see the face. I got to make all my facial expressions.
A lot of people don't know Jared too much outside of seeing the interviews or on the field. You're a very different type of person. Think a lot, like to talk about a lot of different issues. But one thing you do, you take a lot of different pictures. Like, you like the camera. Our first year, Secret Santa, you got to GoPro, and you used it. Initially, you got a drone. Why you take so many pictures, man? What you do with those pictures?
I'm almost like a picture hoarder. Like, I hoard pictures. Like, I have pictures stored on old phones from college that I still have in my closet that I think I'm going to use one day. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's kind of a messed up in my head where I keep all these photos or these pictures and think I'm going to use them. But I'm trying to learn different things about photography and slowly cinematography.
I've been saying some things about an art gallery that you getting into and getting up and going and getting started.
Yeah.
Is that from taking the pictures? That what, you know, your mind led you to do?
Well,
or is this just...
Yeah, I have an appreciation for photography and what was introduced to me as film is art, right? That was introduced to me in high school. I guess it started there and getting into it, and I guess a lot of times as a football player, you're scared to jump into other things because you're supposed to be doing this, you're supposed to be doing that. You know, not even just fans or people who enjoy the game, but the people around you in your life, like your family and friends, all construct this idea that you're supposed to be this person and not something else. And for me, it was interesting outside of football, and I felt like exploring it a bit. And I wanted to affect Jacksonville outside of football, right? Instead of having me and my jersey up on a billboard or whatever, you know, I've kind of spent some time in, you know, Jack's Beach. I spent some time in Riverside, and I met quite a few people and, you know, some, you know, artists or aspiring artists, either way. and photographers and some, you know, local cinematographers and filmmakers and stuff like that. And they've been pretty cool people, and there's some pretty cool work going on and some pretty cool art that's going on here in Jacksonville. The gallery space is pretty much the city. And the exhibit, we're kind of hashtagging it Jaxtaposition, right? Where we're trying to contrast ads with art, right? And we're trying to contrast consumerism with creation and creating, right? Where the thing is that you would usually go by, you know, this particular billboard, and you would see a Geico ad or a Florida Blue ad. And, you know, we love you, Florida Blue, here with the Jacksonville Jaguars. But, you know, or an ad for something else. And that's just to consume, and, you know, we don't want your money. We just kind of want your attention. And we want, you know, to create a bit of time for you to reflect upon your own feelings and maybe potential ventures as an artist or whatever it may be. And so we wanted to put local artists on display and to show some of the work that they've done locally and abroad.
No doubt, man. I appreciate you. Thank you for coming through.
Of course, man.
No doubt.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, guys. Now, one lucky family has a new home for the new year. Brian Sexton has more in this feature presented by Tico People's Gas.
On Christmas Eve at Everbank Field, the Jaguars gave their fans something to cheer about. The team's first win in more than 2 months sent the faithful home happy. For the Shirley family, though, the feeling was more than happy. In fact, there probably isn't a word in the dictionary to describe what it feels like to be sent home with a new home.
I don't even have words. It's changed everything about what we're going to be doing and how we're going to proceed forward. So it's amazing. Thank you guys very much. It's just awesome.
The Dreamfinders home was built to give away, both literally and figuratively. Literally, the home just inside Gate Ford Everbank Field was built in three parts with the intention of putting them on trucks and taking them to a lot in Springfield.
The front, the back, and the roof all come apart. We'll move those individual pieces to the new home site, which is in Springfield, put it back together, and then obviously we'll have a little bit of finish work.
Figuratively, because the house was built both of lumber and nails, and the love and gratitude of the folks at Dreamfinders Homes, whose feelings for the sacrifice of our veterans ran deep through the project.
Obviously, Jacksonville, huge military town, big part of who we are, you know, as a city. Nationally, it's a big part of who we are. So we thought, what better connection, you know, than to give the home back to a military veteran.
The first home ever built inside a stadium complex will leave a legacy, both where it sat and where it will sit. For Jaguars Weekend, I'm Brian Sexton.
Thank you, Brian. There's still more to come. A preview of the Week 17 matchup against the Indianapolis Colts is coming up on Jaguars Weekend, presented by Dreamfinders Home.
I know how I played this year. It's, to me, a successful rookie season for myself, so it would be great to have that honor if I deserve it.
Jalen Ramsey in the locker room this week. Could he be the defensive rookie of the year? Can he overtake Joey Bosa of the Chargers? We'll find out coming up. Welcome back to Jaguars Weekend, presented by Dreamfinders Homes. Let's start off with Ramsey. A bright spot in a bleak season around here.
Well, I don't cover Joey Bosa, but I do cover Jalen Ramsey. In the last 2 weeks, he has made more plays in each game, impact from the back of the defense, than most really good cornerbacks make in a year. It's rare to see it. I covered it with Bob Sanders, a safety who made a huge difference in Indianapolis in many, many games. When you make impact from back there, especially without the pass rush that the Jaguars haven't had this year very much, he's special. He's a game changer, franchise changer. He's everything you want. And, you know, if I'm voting, he's rookie of the year, but I don't see both.
15 games into his NFL career, it's tough to say you're the best defensive player in Jaguars history. But he's second right now to Tony Brackens. And over the course of his career, he will probably be the best ever.
He's not even good yet. In terms of what he will be, because he's just a rookie, the ceiling's unbelievable.
He's so much more gifted than anyone else.
There's no doubt about that. Quick key to victory for the Jags this weekend.
Focus. Because this is a week where, you know, the engines could be running. You could be packed up already. the team this week that is most into this game, because they're both out of it, yep, I think we'll win.
That's the most important key when you have two teams like this. But I'll go with this. They have to be in a position to run the ball. The Jaguars should be able to pound the ball against this Colts front. And if they can, they win.
That's coming up. Jags visit the Colts. Happy New Year. That's it for Jaguars Weekend, presented by Dreamfinders Homes.